Hi, and welcome to the 36th episode of the Language Mannerings podcast. And my guest today is a very, very special guest. She is the founder of the Language Heroes community on VK. Her name is Eugenia Kasheva. So thank you very much for coming on the show. Привет, как дела?
Спасибо, что пригласил.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. So can you tell people who may not be familiar with you a little bit about yourself? What languages do you speak?
Well, I speak Russian, English, German, Chinese more or less, a bit of French, a bit of Spanish, a bit of Portuguese, and a bit of Czech. So just like a tiny bit, but some languages I speak more fluently, some less, so I cannot say that I'm a polyglot. This is one of the goals, but not yet.
And how long have you been studying languages overall?
At the age of 5, I think.
Well, so. Okay. And you started with English?
Yes.
You started with English? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. And at what point in your studies did you start to say, like, okay, why don't I just keep going and study more and more and more? How long into your studies did that take?
Well, it just happened that in school I managed to learn French. Then I went to United States, and there I had a year of Spanish, and then Latin in the university, German in the university. Chinese was my dream language, so I started learning it after I graduated. And then I read Babel No More, and after that it just clicked. Wow, I can learn languages, and I don't have to feel guilty about that. Because usually I thought, okay, I just spent too much time, and I'm not going to earn money for my, I don't know, studies, and what would my husband say? But then I realized that it's just some sort of a brain, I don't know. How it functions, and after that I've launched my blog and my group in Kontakte, and it just all started the exploration.
Yeah, can you tell me a little bit about the Babel No More book? What inspired you in the book?
Well, first of all, the stories of the polyglots and the idea that you don't have to be perfect. Because especially, I don't know what about guys, but for the girls, it's really hard. We're all perfectionists, especially if you're like A grade girl, when you're used to getting A grades all the time, and then you think, okay, I don't know this language, I cannot speak it. Although I have been learning it for four years already, and I know all the grammar and lots of vocab, but still, I'm not sure. And then I was reading that book, and I realized that you don't have to be perfect. It's just, it's absolutely okay. Just, you know, to learn and enjoy. And after that, I realized that I want to refresh all the languages which I previously learned. And I've started enjoying the process, and I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm. So
Mm-hmm. I can say that I'm a relaxed learner. I'm not for achievement, but I am for the process and for the joy it brings.
Mm-hmm. And how did that lead to starting the Language Heroes? I mean that seems to be like a work in progress as it evolves. But how did you decide to, I don't know,
well,
get
again,
other people to join you?
After this book, I've started looking through websites of different polyglots. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know all those guys, and I thought, you have such an amazing polyglot community, but it was like English speaking community, and I didn't find anything in Russian. So I've decided that we need to create something local, something tiny, but for people who love learning languages in Russian, in Russia. That's how it started. So pretty much it started as a blog for me, where I could save different links and interesting articles and write down some ideas. And now I have about, almost 9,000 subscribers. And the wow. community turned out to be pretty active. And probably the thing that inspires me the most is that there are lots of people who start with one language and then they say, okay, I want to learn not only English, but maybe Chinese and then Japanese and then Greek and then Spanish. So people understand that they can progress pretty quickly, and then they want more and more and more. So I'm not alone. And mm-hmm. this is awesome.
Cool. And how did, for example, the 12-week year inspire you as well? Because I see that showing up in the community.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it all coincided. I got a present from one of my favorite publishers, right? It was just, New Year's Eve, the 12-week year. And I've downloaded it, looked through it, and I thought, this approach is just, wow, it's so simple. It's so easy, but it might be effective. And then... we bought tickets to Prague, and there were 12 weeks just before our departure. So I decided to try this 12-week approach for language learning, and it happened to be very, very effective, because that was not only me. I've made an announcement, okay, guys, I want to try and work on a language for 12 weeks every day. Who wants to join? About 36 people joined me. First time, the second time, since we showed results, and the results were like, wow. The next time we had almost 300 people already, so 10 times more. And people keep coming, and they see the results, and they get impressed, and they want to try and participate with us. And I think this is really cool, because we all think that in order to learn a language, you have to go to courses, you have to invest lots of money, and 2, 3, 4 years to start talking. And when people start talking like in several weeks with native speakers, it's like, wow. And I keep saying wow, but it's really amazing. And I personally, I didn't expect that because, well, for me, it was a surprise. In university, as I've told you, I've learned German, and it took me 4 years. So I passed all the exams, and I was like an excellent student. But I, after those 4 years, I was afraid to talk to a native speaker. And when I first did that, we were discussing like Perestroika and Gorbachev, and I was like, wow, what can I say in German? I didn't know that. And I understand that if I were told, okay, just go ahead and try, you can do it, I would feel much more confident. I know that I would make mistakes, I would think that I'm stupid or whatever, but I thought that I was stupid. for 4 years, and then it turned out to be that I'm not. I could speak, and this is what I'm trying to do. I want to inspire people.
Well, you're doing an excellent job at inspiring language learners. And so this started about a year ago. For the first time, you had about 30 people, and then the summer marathon is when you say had about 300. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So there's now been, in this case, how many marathons? Like 3, 4?
We've just finished the fourth one. And overall, we had about 1,300 people.
Wow. Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about how that gets organized? So you said that with the 12-week year, for people who aren't familiar with the 12-week year book by Brian P. Moran, the idea is to kind of condense 12 months into 12 weeks. And so each week has the symbolic value of a month. So how does that get translated into a language learning program?
Well, pretty easily, because on the first week, we are writing our vision. So why do you want to learn language? And if you have this vision, and if it's clear and if it inspires you, it will help you overcome laziness that will definitely appear throughout all those 12 weeks, because it's not easy to work on language every day. Well, actually, seriously, it's not easy. It's not for everyone. And when you have this inspiration that moves you, you will get up and, you know, find time to practice. And then every week I give a task. So we work on phonetics, we work on basic grammar, we learn or memorize basic vocabulary, exchange some stuff that inspires us, like music in this language, movies and books. So every week has a particular task, and in the end people manage to speak. So our like final task is to make a video of you talking to a native speaker. But the thing is, for instance, if you want to prepare to some sort of exam, you don't have to do all those tasks. So you don't have to have a particular, well, you can have any goal. If you want to, like, one girl was learning to read in Chinese. So her goal was to memorize lots of characters and just be able to recognize them. There are all types of different people with different types of goals, and it's absolutely not obligatory to follow the weekly tasks. For many people, they help organize. They help understand how to organize their process. So I just give really useful tasks not everyone knows about. My personal goal is to help people understand how to become an independent language learner.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what I've gotten out of it a lot, is the different approaches to how to target a specific skill or a specific approach and to become more familiar with that. And because I joined in October when you opened it up to foreigners learning Russian, and I think I just focused on the maximum goals and I just went way too ambitious and said, okay, I'm going to read like 90 Chekhov stories, and that just never happened. And as a result, I gave up coffee for years. So I'm drinking tea. I'm still like on 3 months now of no coffee. So I had to be careful with my goals on that. So I'm still taking that seriously. But I definitely, now that I've like had some difficulty in the second marathon and started strong, and then the transition into getting fired from my office job and starting to teach online and then starting this podcast and finding more students, it really did affect it. It did interrupt my second marathon. And now with that accumulated experience of seeing how the community works, now I've signed up for the Add One Challenge. And I feel like I'm comparing and going back and forth between what have I learned in Language Heroes, what have I learned from that community, and how can I apply that now to the Add One Challenge? And maybe the third time's a charm, third time is the charm, as they say, of like, if you fail two times, maybe the third time you're gonna finally figure out what works. And like, I've been trying to record myself speaking Russian like 10, 15 minutes a day. I tried to do that in the first marathon. There were gaps in that, and I don't know how many videos I did make over a period of like 90 days or so, but now I've been able to do this solid for like 1 week. And when that becomes a habit and then becomes part of a routine, it's no longer like going to the gym of like, I don't want to go, no, don't just do it, okay, I'll just do it. And so now it's just, this is what I do. Like now with this podcast, this is something I do every day, Monday to Friday. I get to talk with awesome people about languages and learning languages. And this is just, it's part of my routine. I love this. So if making YouTube videos of speaking in Russian is just something I love and I want to do that, then it's just make that part of the routine. So that's one thing I really love about the Language Heroes community, is even if my goals got really, like they vanished on the horizon because I set stuff that was just impossible, at least each week there was a task that I could kind of cling to and hold on to and say, well, okay, if my goals have just disappeared, at least let me try something small. Let me have a small success at something and then build up a momentum again. So, because I've seen you had the curve of like enthusiasm and momentum, which I think is also in the 12-week yearbook of you might start. Can you tell us a little bit about that, this curve of like enthusiasm, and because it's a marathon, it's not a sprint.
Yes. Well, when we open the marathon, the first week, everyone's so excited. I'm going to learn 10 languages in 1 week. Hey! So, and I keep saying, stick to one language. Keep calm. Don't like overact, because people, almost everyone overacts. And this is called a baseless, groundless optimism, unreasonable optimism.
Okay.
So this is what's going on. And then the curve of optimism, well, people understand that this is hard work. So I wasn't lying to them when I warned them. It's just, okay, maybe I don't want to learn today, maybe tomorrow. And it just keeps the mood goes from top high to like lower, down. And probably in the middle of the term, people feel that they are already tired, but they don't see the results so far. And this is like the bottom, the depression, where everyone starts to whine, like, well, I don't know, I'm just, I will never do this. And lots of people at this point, they just quit. But those who don't, like, our motto is, quitters never win, winners never quit. So those who stay, they start seeing results after this in the second half, and their mood arises again, and they get to this point where their optimism has grounds. So this is how it works.
I relate. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important to understand what you're going through, because those motivation cycles, they're very important. Because if you just if you see that everyone is like in the same boat, so you're in the same situation, it's easier to get support, and it's easier to, for instance, you see that someone's trying to overcome him or herself. You try to do your best and to, I don't know, to overcome yourself too. And this is what I also really like about our community, because it's very supportive. So we don't compete. I think I do maybe the ratings with time, maybe once or twice or three times, because it's good for the people who, like, the time rating is based on the number of minutes that people say that they study. And for some people, it is very motivating. But for some, they think, okay, I don't have like five hours a day, so probably I won't be as good as those. But those, they may not have work, or they may be school kids on vacation, so they just have time and have nothing to do. And this is why I don't push all those ratings. So I just want everyone to feel comfortable, because for some people it's not really good to compare, because they compare each other anyway. But I'm trying not to push it too hard.
I've seen with the numbers and the spreadsheet and filling that in, and there is like a good competitive element, because I do remember some of the people studying like next to me in the columns and seeing like, well, so-and-so put in an hour today. What have I done? I'll put in a little time. So, I mean, that does kind of like, you do come face-to-face with what are you doing each day. But now that I'm comparing with the Add One Challenge, where it's like, there isn't really a timer. There isn't a timer element. It's just, did you do what you said you were going to do or not? So with when my experience in the language here is with the table was like, I felt like I could cheat. I said I was going to do an hour. Today I did 45 minutes. So does that mean tomorrow I could do an hour and 15 minutes and I could kind of be, so I started doing this kind of delusion of I can make up the time. I can make up the time if like I got busy today. And with the ad one, it's like, well, did you do it or not? And that kind of commitment or self-commitment and the accountability just really forced me to like, okay, who am I kidding here? If I'm going to be juggling time from one day to the other, I'm only cheating myself. So if I said I'm going to do this for an hour, I'm not trying to prove something to other people. I'm just trying to commit to this activity. So if I say I'm going to do an hour, I have to do an hour. Otherwise, there is no catching up. Each day you either have that day and you seize it or you lose it. So this kind of I'll do more tomorrow, it becomes impossible. I think you probably see this because you have a very little daughter. So juggling your studies and parental responsibilities, how do you balance that with language learning and organizing all these other language learners? How do you manage that?
Not quite successful, not as successful as I would want. Because, well, for instance, right now I want to draw. And you know, I have two options, learn a language or draw, or sleep, maybe. So with all those community tasks, I don't have I don't have free time. I don't have sometimes I don't even have time, you know, to sit alone and think about something. I'm doing something all the time. I just keep doing. But this is probably the only approach that helps you get things done. So I don't procrastinate for about a year already. So I'm the person who doesn't procrastinate, and it's just because I don't have time. If I want to do something, I just sit and do.
And there's an article I remember reading you. I believe it's a guest post that you had on Benny Lewis's website, and I think there was a tip you were saying about like, just get rid of all the social media off your telephone. And I think there were some other things as well. Like, so how do you balance that? Because if you're constantly getting bombarded by tagged messages in VK and getting personal messages, private messages to respond to something, how do you kind of say, I'm only going to handle stuff for an hour? Or how do you do that?
Since the contact is my working place, like the office, I work with clients, I communicate with friends, I even managed to get physical training in Vkontakte. That sounds weird, but it works. So I study there, I spend lots and lots of time, but I've realized that, you know, since this is my work, I have to have working hours. So on my cell phone, for instance, if I go to bed like 10 o'clock, I don't go to bed with my cell phone. And I've tried I've created a separate account for messages from people who are not my friends. I go to this account once a day, and I understand that no one had died from not replying my instant from not getting my instant reply. So you know, you have to protect your personal time if you want to create something, if you want to study and develop. And probably last year I had launched this project. I was writing program, and I was really into organizational stuff, and I'm trying to organize my life and try to, you know, not just to be a slave of a cell phone, but as I told you, I've realized that I want to draw, so I'm just painting, I'm doing stuff with my child, I want to, you know, to be for me, it's some sort of maybe like freedom, to be free, to be, you know, to live not imaginary life, like to show off. I don't want this. I just want to live my life, and this year I'm working on it. So I just want to organize my life.
Yeah, I completely relate to that. I mean, like, now that I've been in this like networking, marketing, teaching, just getting myself onto like all the social media and talking to so many different people, I do feel like my working, like the office hours at my former job was like, okay, 8:30 to 5:30, and I only worked on translation work, and I never took any work home because obviously it's, well, it's a sensitive document, so you don't want to do that. Plus, we had put in deadlines based on we're only working at the office from 8:30 to 5:30, and then we go home. So I could just go home at 5:30 and just dedicate myself to my kids, and just maybe have one or two English classes through Skype at night, but nothing too time intensive. And now all of a sudden, with being an online English teacher, this whole concept of like office hours just goes out the window. And I'm like, I'm online from like 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. And it's ridiculous because I'm like, wait a second. Before I had these regular office hours, and now being trying to self-impose office hours has just been so crazy in terms of like, but somebody just sent me a message, I need to respond. Or wait, there was an interesting article I just read on Facebook, I need to reply to that. Or wait, no, there's a tweet I need to send on Twitter. Wait. And then I need to edit the audio for a podcast. And then, oh, I have a class, and then I have more classes. So I need to become so super organized in time management skills and really say like, okay, I'm going to be teaching with the regular office hours. And if you send me an email, I'll check this. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. But I don't think I'm going to be able to keep up this rhythm of 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. And my family doesn't see me anymore, even though they're like, we saw you more when you were at the office. So it's kind of crazy. And I have to figure this out pretty soon, because otherwise I'll probably get burnt out or something bad is going to happen. I knock on wood, I hope it doesn't. But just, yeah, I need to get really organized with the time management. And in terms of hobbies, I definitely relate, because I've got like a piano, a couple of violins, a cello, a guitar, a bass, like they're just sitting right over here behind where I'm working. And I keep working online of producing content and things. And I figured like, when am I going to play music? Wait, did I schedule 30 minutes to just go disconnect from the computer, disconnect from online life and go do something creative? So I really hope that you find the time that you can dedicate yourself to art and drawing, because I think it's also very therapeutic, because it's just a real frenzy when you're online, and it just, online stuff just never stops. There's just always, yeah, there's another YouTube video you can watch, there's another article you can read. It's just so much content that keeps getting generated each day, but we just have to filter it, and it's really complicated sometimes.
And especially Russia is a big country, and like in a song, when the sun rises on Mary, it sets on him. So Vladivostok wakes up, Moscow goes to bed, and everyone wants to write, everyone wants to talk to me. And I'm really, I don't mind talking, but I mind like doing this in regular working hours. And since it's a network, people usually don't think that it's just, you know, it's a social network. People mm-hmm. are there for fun, not like sitting like me and you, like all the time creating some content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, we need to find a balance. But with the 12-week year, I mean, in terms of language learning, but then also kind of how do I apply that to like the balance of so that's I think my goal this year, and or at least the next month, because. If I wait for a year, I don't know what's going to happen. But so I need to get this stuff in place now very quickly. So just some other questions I was thinking of asking you about the Language Heroes program. So what would be the benefits of like foreigners who are learning Russian What is the benefit of joining the community?
The original idea was to invite people who already have previous experience in learning Russian, because the community itself is Russian. And if you can read, if you can understand what's going on, you can benefit enormously, because, you know, we communicate how we communicate. So it's not some sort of textbook Russian. It's absolutely, so this is how we Russians talk. You can get slang, you can get various set expressions, and you can talk to, you know, not the propaganda Russians, but the real normal guys and girls who are fond of learning languages. So I think this is a really interesting experience for people who want to, you know, want to absorb as much as they can and make the most out of it. But it turned out to be not that easy, because as I see many people, their level of Russian is not quite sufficient, so they don't understand what's going on too much. We provide support in English, so we have all the tasks translated in English. We have special English speaking threads, and we try somehow to solve and all the stuff. But here's the big thing is that VKontakte is Russian Facebook, and we get used to seeing in VKontakte. And if you're used to Facebook, why would you bother joining another social network? So I think there stay those who are dedicated to learning, so who can find time to get VKontakte, to read, look through the tasks, and the point is that if like you, Jean and Kate, and guys like you, who are open and who are so friendly, and it's so cool to have you there, because it brings so for those who learn your languages, it's like, you know, a tiny bridge to the culture, and it's really amazing to have you there, because you add it's like special flavor to what's going on, and we look at your results, at your progress, and we all know that Russian is not like the easiest language. Russian people make mistakes too, so it's okay to make mistakes. And this inspires us to work on our languages. I think our community itself is very friendly. So if you need help, if you want to find friends, like pen friends, or just to talk, to chat on Skype, it will be like a matter of, I don't know, 30 seconds. So there are lots and lots of people who are willing to assist, to help, to talk to you, and they understand. They have this. They're going through the same struggles with their own languages. So the community itself, I think this is a pretty awesome place to like to learn Russian in order to achieve results. So if there are people who want to try, I will be happy to see you there.
Definitely. So they should, which link should they look at for finding out more information about the community?
lh12.ru/en, like in English.
Okay, and how can people find out about the community on VK?
VK.com, then / /PETITEPOLYGLOT.
So petit polyglot. Okay. Cool. And you told me a little bit that there's a polyglot challenge going on. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, the Great Polyglot Challenge. This is a crazy event. I don't know what to say. So not long ago, I decided to create a challenge for people who want to be polyglot. So since we have lots of people who want to be polyglot in our community, I wrote a letter, okay, guys, who want to become a real one, I have something special for you, a contest, apply if you want. So they applied, they didn't know the rules, and then I closed their registration and showed them the rules. So you have three periods of 9 weeks, 9 weeks each, so 27 weeks. And you have to learn three absolutely new languages for you. So one language can be like any European language, like German, Spanish, French, whatever. The second language should be a hard language. So it may be Chinese, Japanese, or Arabic, or Greek. It should have, I call this a weird alphabet, or it should have no alphabet. So it should be hard. And the third language is up to the choice of the participants. So it can be Slavic language, or Georgian, or whatever they want. But the only requirement is you should have learned this language before. Right now there are about 60 people who are doing this for. I think this is the fifth week of the challenge, and the prize is like, why are they doing this? Is tickets to the Polyglot conference, tickets, hotel accommodation, and like plane tickets. Yes, I think this is quite an exciting adventure, because I know that there are lots of people who have several, like three languages they were thinking about learning, and then I have given them the chance to start exploring them. And I know, based on statistics of Language Heroes, 9 weeks of hard work it could be sufficient enough to get A1 in any language. So I know that one of the girls, she already reported that has A1 in German after 5 weeks learning German. I think this is a nice result.
Cool.
Yes.
Are you planning to go to Greece?
Yes, I am. Cool. I really want to.
Will that be your first conference? Or mm-hmm. Have you gone to them before? Oh, okay. Well, I will have to have you be my eyes and ears, because I would so love to go to these conferences. I know there's in Berlin coming up for the Polyglot gathering in Berlin in May, and it's too soon for me with all this online stuff going on. I don't know about Greece. Again, that might be too soon, but hopefully, maybe 2017, I might get a chance to go to one of these. I know there's a North American conference as well, but I don't know. I don't know when that is. I'm not sure if it's in summer as well, but I would really love to be able to go to one of these events and to meet all these people. Definitely keep us up to date on what you find out about in Greece and. So it would be really cool to hear about that. So we'll have to have you back on the back on the podcast to kind of give us an update how that goes. And so there's a lot of things going on here for the language learning community, and it's just wonderful what you do and all the budding polyglots that you have been inspiring. Myself included, it's just incredible the amount of hard work that you've put into this, and I imagine it does take up a lot of time, but it's great that you have a really wonderful community of people who are very supportive, and especially the mentors and curators, they do an excellent job, and there's so many people, I can't name all of them right now, but they've been very inspiring, and I know that they do a wonderful job to help the people learning the different languages in the community. So just keep up the great work that you guys are all doing. And so when is the next marathon going to start?
In June. And I will be opening registration in May.
In May. Okay. So I'll make sure to let people know if they are discovering this episode, this podcast, maybe not now, but in the future. To make sure that to say that an update, this link is open, you can register, and so that'll be starting in June. Okay. So enjoy the time off, because it seems like you've had a really steady 9 months of just constantly keeping time management and motivating people, answering questions. So are you traveling anywhere in the next few months?
And Portugal.
Oh, okay. Well, enjoy your trip. I think it's bon voyage. I think. Cool. So thank you so much, Zhenya, for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And I hope if people are listening and you're really interested in learning Russian, Language Heroes is definitely an awesome community to join. You'll be treated like a king. In fact, they voted me king in the October marathon. I did not live up to that in the winter marathon, but that's another story. But they definitely are very supportive of anybody who takes on Russian, because it is not a small task to learn this language, but it's a very beautiful language. It really opens up a lot of doors. And right now I'm finding a lot of inspiring people to do collaborative projects with, and to find out about how they learn languages, how they teach them. And there's a lot of people who are in the Language Heroes community. So it's a wonderful place to network and find out how to learn languages very effectively. So I highly recommend it. And definitely check out Zhenya's her website and the community. And so, yeah, keep up the good work. That's all I can say. I just keep praising.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. So it's a pleasure to have you.
For inviting me. Yes, it was really nice to talk to you.
Thank you. And I'll end this by saying, if you're interested in taking an English lesson with me or hearing more about my language Mandarin, so you can visit my website, HugginsInternational.com. That's HugginsInternational.com. Or you can send me an email at HugginsInternational@gmail.com. Thank you very much, Zhenya. And thank you, everybody, for listening to this podcast. Take care. Paka, paka.
Paka, paka.